Mr. Gormley, Reel 44. You said you were in Eindhoven in the period of the winter of 44-45.
Well, we're outside Eindhoven, actually. We weren't in any billets or anything like that. Billets were not to be found. We were sleeping on roof. And as I say, more or less under the tarpaulin. And in the during the winter, looks like, there was a lot of action prior to that, like. I'd have been thinking about the day that we and we worked in a place called Conley Nook. Yeah, and I had this place. I just read this place, Conley Nook. And the Jimmy's here occupying the other side of the canal. And these earthyards had formed a splitting bridge. And yeah, a detour of 12 miles up to find it. And we were held it there, exactly. We were held it there, completely held it. No moving down there across there. And fortunately, they hadn't turned the canal, which we were intent on doing, you know. And they hadn't drained it. So we went up with these three fizzards, which we put up there, and they held the bridge when we got there. And as I said, we got about 12 miles out of the way. And we came right way back down. Right in the end. And that was a good place, because they didn't even know we were there. No, there. So we opened up. We played money out of them, because
what ranges were you firing at in this particular situation?
Well, we started away about a mile and a half from where we were, because we knew that we'll take.
And you have your own infantry with you. You know, your own brigade infantry with you.
We took infantry with us. Mm. Oh, yes, yes. Yes, pretty all the infantry, pretty infantry. It's clear you're in a tank, you're right. You've got that infantry, you bring them out, like, or whatever, you know. So, oh, yes. We had a couple of platoons of the guns. We took them with us. And we took them with us in the cockpit with them.
Were these 9th Battalion Germans that had moved to you in December?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What happened to you next, after this?
Well, it was another one, it sticks in the mind, what can I call that now? It was a very big factory place. And the winner, big, big factory. Not the, not SS, cadets, like army cadets. And the place, they set fire to the bloody place. Office block. And they set the book on fire. And there was still fire on it, and the bloody place burned down around it. Not one of them came out there. Nobody came out. Nobody.
Were these young fascists?
Young fascists. Cadets, young cadets. They were firing at this, and then the building burned down on them. And there was no every man left that building. And then we moved on from that. And I think that was just before that panel lock. I can't remember now, was it or before the other one? But that was an actual factor.
Right. And the winter, how did you cope with that?
Well, I can tell you, it really was a bad winter. Bad winter. because you couldn't get off the roads because the road was frozen. You could stop on the road, but once you got off the road, you'd be away and get back on again.
Oh, this was water filled.
So you had to stay on the road. Whatever you were doing, you had to stop on that road. All the fish about there, I just remember that. You just got to get away. It was about then, or maybe just before. Because that, taking over the 7 hours. He come from the 50 days, when he disbanded the 50 days. He just come to my mind now. He disbanded the 50 days. And he very insisted that the men needed training to easily work with tanks. Now I was aware of this is the first paper I ever had, anyway. And he went, the first thing he did, he built a camp with 7,000 pieces. We were already in Holland then, like that. This was the first paper I've had in all that time. And what I had to do, every man was given a fortnight. Every man, because we were held up with the
line was pretty static at this time, wasn't it?
With the engineering tanks together, and then the next week was a holiday. We had the holiday Easter. That was the very first thing we did. I mean, just come to your mind there. It's just things you did, you took a bit trigger it off, right? And I always remember that. And I was one of the first to get myself taken to go back and experiment with the SP and that, you know. And then I took the time off and went down to Ghent. And watched it as it came through, but remember the time I stopped and looked at it. And I thought, it was all of interest in my life. Old buildings, love them.
And where did you stay in Ghent?
In the camp.
Oh, there's a camp there?
Oh, yeah, there's all the proper hook, and you take the camp, like, you know.
Were the civilians very helpful and cooperative?
Yes. In Bangor, yeah, very. And, we couldn't get the town at the time, it's good there, like. In fact, I went to a boxing tournament there, and I met a lot of people, and I was boxing there, and I met a fellow called Tommy Smith. And, I'd known him for a while. And,
So this was, as you say, whilst the line was pretty static, wasn't it? When things started to move again, where did you go and what did you get up to? It's probably getting in towards the Rhine crossing now, are we?
Well, I think that would probably be the next step because we knew just a case of putting the names in perspective, where we went to from there. Very difficult at the moment. Well, I remember to the Rhine crossing. We pulled down to a place called Diesel. Diesel means Diesel in the German name. It's a place called Diesel. That's where we were going to make the line crossing, critical and neutral. And they had these commandos. All these commandos were waiting to go across. So the commandos ran over, and the former leap of beachhead, and then they took us over. And we were the first army member to go over. And we went over with them to give them support. They'd already gone across, opened a little bridgehead up, and we went over so that we could give them support. And it was a great feeling, actually. You know, when you think back on it, like, you know, it's a great thing to think that you're actually in the enemy's homeland, you know, something that was never dreamt of. I never dreamt of when he lived in Scotland, you know. But it was a great feeling at that time, a really great feeling. And we went over there and we were giving them support, and it was just as well that we'd gone over, actually, because we were held a tie up with the traffic behind me, all the traffic with the people, all lined up, you know. And the whole army division waiting to come over after us.
And you'd got over by a bridge, had you? Bailey Bridge?
The Bailey Bridge that was thrown across. And we got over like the big bridge. I was pretty young, I think, to get a bridge, a river like that, you know.
And you put under shell fire from the oil, enemy fire as you went over?
Well, it was only in a case of burst, like, you know, not in comparison to what we'd already had. Nothing really, you know. I think they'd been over and really blasted on the other side, like, you know, I must have gone because there was a pretty thin stand and you didn't leave it, kind of thing.
So you got across and you reinforced the commander.
We got across, like I say, we made the beachhead secure. It took an awful long time to get the rest of the bloody deal over. And so I don't know what the hell of it was, but the hell of it was.
And did this start your drive across North Germany? And what's your next memory on this journey?
Well, everywhere we went, there's a pastor on there. Everywhere we went, there's a massive rubber which had, this had been engineered with the help of the Air Force. Everywhere you looked, and the first town that we came to was a large village, was a place called Borkus. And this was just a pile of rubber that had been absolutely flattened. There wasn't a thin stand anywhere. Yes, it was a terrible place to be, you know.
And did you see much of the German civilians? Because you are in Germany now.
Well, just about this time, it would become nightfall, you know. Mm. So we had to leave the room for the night. There's no way you could go back into enemy territory without knowing where you're going, you know. Oh, what's going to happen here?
And there weren't many civilians about?
No one. I think anybody that was there was sleeping out in the field somewhere out the road, because there was nowhere in that village that anybody could have slept in. Not unless I had sat on the beach side or something like that. There's nowhere in the room like that. And anyway, the next morning we were confronted by SP and infantry, and we had quite a battle again there. It was only more or less a defensive action, like, you know, it didn't take long to sort them out and get cracking again.
Do you know what dates these were? Where are we in the year itself? I mean, in 1945. It's probably
it would be around
about February, that kind of time, February, March, 45.
Yeah.
So where did you move on next then?
And typically, get your mind in, you get it into a cohesive pattern to think of them. But I remember this place called Ibn Buren. It was a big cadet place where you train all these young cadets and that. And totally standing, I should imagine, probably the same with all that. You were defending this big office block.
Oh, this is the office block you mentioned earlier, did you?
Yeah.
It must have been the same one, yes.
Just took it away in my mind. So, we shelled them and we set the whole place on fire.
We've got all this, so we can leave that now, yes. So, but ultimately, again, you pushed on.
Yeah. So I'm sorry about that. I'm going back to something which I've already passed. So, anyway, they put me in the right with the gear there. I had a battle just out of our own office. They didn't just leave there and go ahead and do things like that. Wild defender, absolutely. Defended to the death. They weren't bothered. Defended to the death. Long boat was there. And then the right wing went in and they sorted it out. And the Downs were able to join in as well. And with the 5th Battalion of Tanks, and they put in the Downs put in a great attack and cleared all the enemy out.
And your guns were in support again, were they?
Oh, yes. Well, the guns never kept firing all the time. But whenever they were acting in the 5th or the 3rd in the town, because we were the 2 artillery regiments that were with them, we were always in action. Particularly with number 1, we were well, but of course they had already been not too far, but they'd been reformed and sent to the real part of the day, like, you know. Because of that two companies for them, and we lost that many men.
Are we now approaching the end of the war, obviously? Yeah. And you're moving into what, towards, was it Hanover?
Before that, we came through Bremen.
What are your memories of that area?
Bremen, yeah. Well, we were driving into Bremen with the SP, and faced with a pretty German heavy tank gun, and the bloody street. And I got mine up before anybody was off, and I blew them up the bloody road. I was looking at the ambush, you know, with the new trigger. And I blew them up the road, and we went through Bremen.
Did you travel with, in effect, with a shell up the spout ready to fire off?
Not under the circumstances that we were riding with them, but we always one there up the spout ready to be. The first in the group, you always had one up the spout. Couldn't afford to do any better.
And Bremen was quite a big city.
Bremen was quite a big city. There is a bit of loot went on there, right? With my own credit.
How did that come about?
Well, we go to the city, fighting over there in the city, was pulled up outside his door and was shut in. Well, it looked like his door was shut anyway. So I said to the lad, I said, get your shoulder hold and help me. Get what you grab what you can and get bloody back on. So we all dragged over there and we grabbed a handful of them and put all of them there. Didn't know what we'd got, we just grabbed the fucker and back on the SP again, right? Didn't leave it on the thing with me, you know.
Well, was there a lot of looting with British troops in your advance?
That's fine. I mean, there's nobody else yet to find it, but you know, we're going to leave it, like, that was, not anything like that, like, you know. We just said, we'd be wine and beer all day, and if it was there, we'd just...
Was there no danger of these being booby-trapped by the Germans?
We were all circumstances, no. And,
and getting through Bremen.
And from there, we headed down south, back onto the line where we want to be. And it was not far from there, we come across the Buchenwald, isn't it?
One of the concentration camps. And did you actually get into that?
Aye, well, it's finished. It's just caught my mind, huh? I don't know if you can forget these things, but you do. We're driving down the through past Bremen. And we had an English field. You couldn't describe it. You suddenly realised. Everything was kind of silent. It's difficult to describe. When the birds sitting there, look at that. Nothing. And that was the first thing that it's amazing, right? Even when the tanks were stopped, there's all those birds up on the bloody trees and that. Look at it, nobody. What can I do? I thought, what the hell am I coming into here? Yeah. It's funny you get the feeling. What the hell am I coming into here?
But you didn't know what was ahead of you.
We didn't know what was coming to you. We didn't know what was ahead of them. And, started coming up, you know. Very astringent smell. You couldn't put your finger on it, you know. Very astringent. And the further we went, the worse it became. And you thought, what the bloody hell am I driving into, are we? And that was just my feeling at the moment, you know. You're looking at a lap, and the lap's looking at me, you know. But funny, like, I never saw these little huts in that coming up. And we dropped a couple of blocks off. The boy and said, what it was. And they probably were standing at the gates. Some of them were standing around the gates, you know. And we looked at them. Pretty skeletons. Mostly skeletons. You couldn't actually describe it. I was pleased I didn't want to be honest. I'm pretty pleased. I always thank God that I never had a chance to actually go in and see them because I think I might have been really sick about it. And so what the bloody hell is that? What the hell have we got in there? And we drove on, went on. We just drove past, and a couple of years had dropped off and gone in there, right, you know. I don't know what that looked like when I went in before. I'm pretty glad I didn't do it, you know.
But you didn't stop, you went on. Had the camp been, in effect, rescued, had it been taken about it? Nobody been in there? So the to go past. Yeah.
We just couldn't, you know, we couldn't believe it. And then got a bit further along, we come across a place called Alan Bosco. Alan Bosco. And and it was a big prison camp. And you know, about the other thing. The problem was, this pretty RSM was standing there, gave us police and everything for anything.
Prison there, RSM.
RSM standing there for anything. Well, it was in. And there was blokes there that had been captured in Germany. And they come out of there, and well, you know, we could have took them with us, but we weren't allowed to, right, you know. But we could have taken them with us. They'd already been captured in Germany.
These were your ex-members of your...
Ex-members of the regiment that had been captured, you know. So that was a thing for the book. And then we went down the road there, this little bit of hamlet. And he looked, and he could see the little house sticking up the ground like that. But we were just going to leave it there, you know. The little house sticking out the ground, the direct bullock sticking up. It was a very old ground. I wouldn't say a fallen bush, right, but this must have been there, they showed up over there.
These could have been civilians or whatever the Germans had shot. Displaced prisoners or whatever they were.
And so our orders were at the time to round up the whole area. All our people, give them an issue of combat. We give them the signals. We made them dig everything up. So we made them dig every person up and ground here.
And you didn't find the background. Were they slave workers, or you didn't know?
You just wouldn't talk. In fact, you weren't allowed to talk. No, we didn't want to. But we didn't even ask because we didn't really want to know. You understand what I mean? And
and the Germans that were digging them, what you know?
Everybody in that very village was made to come and dig the envelopes up and give them a proper burial. And a proper burial. And they made a coffin for them. They didn't know who they were burying, but they made them bury them.
And you were there watching this, were you?
We were watching that burial, but it must come. That had very nice time because we were disinterring them or just throwing them quick on them, you know, to kill a small.